Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome inside. It is hour two of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. We got Rick Bucher on the way coming up in about 20 minutes to break down night one of the re-return for Kyrie Irving.
The re-return?
Maybe the re-return. He's returned before, and now he's returning again. So it's not really the return because we've seen it. So it's got to be the re-return so people understand that.
Part three.
Yes.
In super 3D, Kyrie Irving.
Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. But before we get to that, we got a big story out of the NFL. And look, this is not us saying we told you so, because I'll tell you what I say, I told you so. But the last couple of nights, we have said that there's another shoe that's going to drop with this Antonio Brown story. All right, the part of Antonio Brown and him walking off the field against the Jets, that's on him. That's what he has to figure out. He's already doesn't feel like he did anything wrong. But, you know, other teams saw it and go, okay, he walked off the field. But in the aftermath of what happened with the Jets on Sunday, right away it seemed weird. Tom Brady talked about how, hey, you know, let's have some good thoughts for Antonio Brown. And Bruce Arians said, you know, after he was very upset, oh, he's not on this team anymore, we've cut him. He said the next day that he was glad they signed AB. They wish him the best. They still haven't removed him from the roster yet. There's a lot of really weird things. And the Bucs have been silent. Why did Bruce Arians have that reversal when it came to Antonio Brown? You think this is just him saying everything he's wanted to say for a year and a half? I didn't want the guy, but Tom convinced me, and Tom says, come on, we got out. All right, won the Super Bowl, but now he's gone. Why this reversal? And when we first heard the whispers that it was about Antonio Brown being told to go back in the game when he was injured, then things started to make sense. And now, after a couple of days of waiting, Antonio Brown has put out a statement detailing, you know, this is Antonio Brown's words, what went down on the sideline. He had a really bad issue with his foot. In fact, he had an MRI on Monday that revealed broken bone fragments, a ligament that was torn from the bone, and cartilage loss. Now, is this being pushed up a little bit? Because, well, he kind of ran across the field really easy, waving goodbye to everybody. But this was the damage to Antonio Brown's foot. He was upset that the Buccaneers mischaracterized his outburst as a mental health issue. This is about me being injured. And he didn't say Bruce Arians' name, but in his statement said, coach came up to me and said, you have to go back in. I can't. I'm too hurt. And that the Bucs knew he was hurt going into the game on Sunday. And when he wouldn't go back in, coach said, you're out of here, and made the throat slash gesture. And that's where Antonio Brown took that to say that, okay, I've been cut, and now I have to leave the sideline. Well, okay, that's not how it works in the NFL, and he knows that. But he wants to say, oh, that's my excuse why I could run across the field and throw my stuff into the stands. He knows that when you're done, okay, you're on the sideline, and then whatever happens at the end of the game is going to happen. Nobody runs across the field and throws their stuff into the stands unless it's a movie. So that part of it, come on, Antonio Brown. But with him being an ex-member of the Bucs now, this story is now shifting because this is going to be an investigation. This is going to be an ongoing story, and this is not a good look for Bruce Arians. This is not a good look for the Bucs. It's the last thing they need going into the last week of the regular season, the playoff, when they're already not playing well. They're not playing like they were a year ago. But this is now going to be something that hangs around the Bucs like a necklace of kryptonite that Superman had that is just going to continue to drag them, because this story is not going away. AB's put out a statement. Now you know there's going to be some kind of investigation. There will be some kind of response from the Bucs. It's going to have to be official, because now the story has become, wait, you tried to put an injured player back into the game. And if you think, well, in a couple of days the story's going to go away, what did we tell you last night? wait till this story, wait till the details come out from Antonio Brown, and you watch the number of players on the daytime shows tomorrow, all the former NFL players, NBA players who are going to say, there's no way I would have done that. If a coach tried to do that to me, I would want him fired. I did go back into a game once, and I hurt myself even more, and I was out for 2 weeks after. Trust me, that's how this is going to play now. And the onus and the attention is going to go to, did Bruce Arians and the Bucs try to play a guy who was injured, who told them he was injured? This does not excuse Antonio Brown at all, because the guy's got issues, and when you sign him, you get what you get. It was very on brand for him to have his meltdown and leave the field. Oh, you don't want me up? No, you don't say go in a game. You sit there, you wait till the game's over, and then you leave. That's how it works. So now this is going to be the focus of it, and this is not going to be a good next couple of weeks for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because everything I just said is how this is now going to go. It's not going to be a one day we've solved it and it's over. It's not going to be AB, we'll pay you $500,000 to make this go away. No, now this is out there. There's going to be testimony from doctors. There'll be testimonies from Antonio Brown's doctors, from the Bucs team doctors, what Bruce Arians said. They're going to need to talk to him as part of an investigation. That's where this is gone now. And I knew it was coming just because of the way it was handled after. Because if a guy is just leaves the team and quits, you cut him and you move on and that's it. You never talk about it again. But now this has stayed around. And Antonio Brown's still on the team. Maybe they take him back. Maybe they say, listen, you take me back, you give me my my bonus money, and then this can go away. Then Antonio Brown says, okay, I'm good. But there's a reason why things have not progressed to where the story is over for Antonio Brown and we're on to something else. This has now become the story.
Well, it's always the potential that calmer heads prevail. They get into a room and exactly like you say, all right, a couple of weeks, get the ankle right. Because obviously he played for the first half, had 5 targets, 3 receptions, 20-yarder, and then obviously something changed, whether the medication, right, that he talks about, the potentially dangerous medication, wore off. And this is all the statement from he and his people, his attorney, that go through. And there's a couple of points to it. You know, Dr. Martin O'Malley at the Hospital for Special Surgery in New York City, right, goes back to the celebrity cab guy or celebrity Uber guy that he got in with, and that guy became a viral star for about 24 hours. But the Bucs had, quote, ordered under penalty of discipline to show up to a more junior doctor for another opinion. And so getting into that of, all right, whose doctor is ready and the authority, because certainly we've talked about that in past cases, not Antonio Brown, but other things in every sport of second opinions and fighting about treatment and what have you with the team, away from the team. Hell, it's one of the ongoing sagas in the Zion Williamson story there in New Orleans, right, as to getting him back on the court. But the other part, you talked about brand. Well, he has a quote, they threw me out like an animal and I refused to wear their brand on my body, so I took my jersey off. So that's, and then ongoing cover up, all of those kind of things. But the line that really is underscored and goes back to, all right, it'll be easy to corroborate what was said in the interaction, right? Plenty of guys on the sideline, plenty of sideline reporters. And then this gem, quote, and the GM acknowledged after the game in text messages to my camp that I did tell coach about my ankle pain on Sunday. Okay, here we go. This goes back to, like Tom Brady, turn over your cell phone. Here we go.
Yeah, look, here comes investigations of many different ways, because when that becomes the story that cuts through the clutter, because that's what it's going to, that's what Antonio Brown is presenting it as, and it's going to be guys on the sideline. Hey, what players were standing around you, AB, when Bruce Arians said this? Well, it was Hofrichter, the punter. It was, like, I got the Syracuse guy in. It was Brady. Yeah. It was Mike Evans. It was this. I mean, this is what it's going to be, because the story, again, did a coach try to put an injured player back in the game, and when he said no, it cost him his job?
Well, I mean, but that's the question, that's was he benching him and telling him to sit down? Or
right,
did he
exactly.
Tell him he was fired?
That's what I'm telling you. That's
cut,
what I mean.
Right?
Here comes the investigation into that.
Right, because if it's the
next
former,
is going to be about.
Because if it's the former, every coach, all right, maybe not everyone, because, you know, using the word everyone and all is a problematic thing. But in quotes, everyone, as in a high percentage, has no doubt tried to convince a guy who shouldn't have been in a game to go back into a game. I mean, you're kidding yourself if you don't think that happens every weekend.
Right,
sure
of course.
Sure you can't go? Sure you can't go. Especially once a guy's already played a half. It's like, what do we need to do? How do we get you through it? How do we make it comfortable enough for you to finish? Especially
but it's
when
like,
you're
it's,
losing to the bleeping Jets.
But which, it's like, well, yeah.
He and the attorney made sure to get that.
Yeah, they made sure to get that. We were upset we were losing the Jets because, you know, the Jets suck, boy. I'll tell you what. But no, but that's my point is that there's going to be a lot of he said.
Mm-hmm.
And there that's why this is going to be an investigation because the NFLPA can't sit back and say, well, all right, sorry, hey, it's AB. What do you want us to do, man? He's, you know, look at all the stuff going on. No, this is, hey, did you threaten a player with his job if you didn't go back in the game injury-wise? And as you said, there's questions and there are situations like that that happen regularly, but now this gets out, right? It's like it's. I always go back to, hey, why'd you pull me over for speeding? Everybody else is speeding. Well, I pulled you over, right? Everybody else is getting people to go back in the game. We need you to play. Mm-hmm. We don't want you. We want you to avoid concussion protocol and just, hey, you're good. Sit on the sideline for a couple minutes. Here's some smelling salts. You know, do it really out of the look of the camera. We'll do, but this one got found out. So now this has to be looked into. And you can see it all play out in front because the Bucs are going to have to answer. The NFL is going to have to get involved. And it's going to be a thing. And Antonio Brown's going to continue to go because what's he going to want? He's going to want money. He's going to want some kind of payment. He's going to want some kind of restitution for what's gone on. He's going to want the money that he was owed for his cash bonuses, whatever it was. He's going to want that. He's going to want something else. He's going to want to embarrass the Bucs because this is what it's all about. And the Bucs are going to have to take their time and answer. And you know the wheels of justice. We talk about how slow they turn. This is what it's going to be, which is what I mean. It's going to hang over them as they get into the last game of the regular season. And it goes on. Every question that Bucs players are going to get. What did AB say to you? What did you see on the sideline? Bruce Arians, I don't want to talk about that. Doesn't matter. You're going to have to. What did you say to him? What did your offense coordinator hear? What did you hear? It's going to be a mess. And for a team that's trying to win back-to-back Super Bowls, like guys, obviously it's the last thing you need, but boy, this is a bad look for Bruce Arians. And if this comes out to be true, I mean, is Bruce Arians still the coach in Tampa Bay? I mean, I know we got a long way to go between here and there, but this is why. This is what's going to happen now. This is what the next 2 weeks are going to be about.
Yeah, but I just raised my hand on this. You allude to these text messages. This is where you you know, copy and paste into the text of this diatribe. Yeah, it might make the font even smaller than it is, but damn it, we could blow it up. Because why leave that I mean, unless that's the negotiating tactic. Hey, you know these texts are here. But if they're legit, then here's your opportunity to just do the double bird and be done with it. All right, here's all my cards. Blank you. As opposed to alluding to it and then moving on. Because now it's, all right, do we have these? Are these legit? Because at this point, we're playing the, all right, hubba, 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 who do you trust game out of the 1989 classic Batman.
Batman.
Very good. You like that? I waited because I knew that was coming.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's go.
Yeah, Teicher was off last night, so the couple times you said Batman, Don Brown didn't do anything, and I'm like, ha-ha, you wasted it, because he doesn't know. But now Teicher's back. I knew that was going to happen.
I got plenty more holstered. Let's go.
I know you do, buddy. I know. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company, and that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. That's discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. Well, straight ahead, what does tonight mean for Kyrie Irving going forward? The Nets, are they more of a title favorite? Are things the same? Is Lance Stephenson going to win the MVP? We got all the big questions and answers with Rick Bucher on the way next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Well, tonight in the NBA was known for one thing, and then it was known for another. It was Kyrie's return. Hey, Kyrie's coming back. Oh, let's wait. Then Kelly Oubre hits 9 threes in the fourth quarter, and Lance Stephenson scores 20 in his first 6 minutes off the bench, back with a 10-day contract with the Pacers. And suddenly Kyrie Irving is saying, hey, today was me. This is supposed to be about me. This is me. It was supposed to be my day. This is why was everybody talking about Lance and Kelly Oubre? Why are those guys trending on Twitter? This is my day. This is supposed to be my day.
It is still his day. He won.
I don't know.
You can
it's
be mad all
anymore.
You want. I mean, look, it's a fun story for Lance Stephenson, and we'll see how long it lasts. Beloved by many and meme-worthy all over the place. But, you know, in the end, Kyrie's back. Whatever that becomes, they got a victory tonight, and that's really all that matters. Scoreboard!
129-121. The Nets win it. And look, Kyrie, a little rusty early, but did play over 30 minutes. He scored 22 points. Look, he and Durant and Harden all had big nights. The Pacers were up big because, you know, when Lance Stephenson comes off the bench to score 20 points in his first 6 minutes, it's going to be a game. He wound up playing 30 minutes and scored 30 points, so his points per minute rate went down a bit. But I'm saying to myself, he just played 6 minutes. Let's say he sits another 6 minutes, right, because he's tired, because he's only playing. Then he plays another. Then he scores another 20 points. He could play 6 minutes a quarter and be at 80. He could miss Kobe Bryant's record by one if he played half the quarter and just kept shooting like he's doing.
Well, you'd be able to go visit that uniform and those shoes, because it's got to be the shoes, in the Naismith Hall of Fame. I mean, there's no question about it. You know what I'm talking about? You walk in your front door of the Hall of Fame out there on the East Coast, and you'd be able to just go, man, there it is. Remember what Lance did? And then they'll have all sorts of NFTs and Top Shots and all of those things to sell, sell, sell.
Well, joining us now on the hotline, a man who, look, I want to let you know as you start the new year, if you're still looking for something great to read, Rebound with Brian Grant, the book Rick Bucher wrote with Brian Grant that came out last year. Great stuff. You can get him on his Twitter account, at Rick Bucher. It's available on Amazon. And also, I want to break the news here, and I hope Rick is okay with this. He is now going to be co-writing the Lance Stephenson autobiography.
Sweet.
After his 20 points in 6 minutes night tonight. Rick, congratulations on that.
Thank you so much. You have cornered the market on breaking news on what my next job or assignment is going to be. So this is no surprise that you would have this one. But you know what? We were so close. We were so close to having Lance Stephenson steal Kyrie Irving's thunder. And he was able to in the first half. And there was something, like, I thought that would be karmic, right? A guy who's dying to play, who's on 10 days, who just wants to get back in the league, playing and outplaying the guy who has opted not to play up until now. But you know what? Talent ultimately wins out. And that's what happened with the Brooklyn Nets and the Indiana Pacers. It was good to see Kyrie Irving back. I don't know about you guys. I made the mistake of watching the Nets feed, and you would have thought that he had been abducted by terrorists and had finally won his release in order that he was able to play in the game. I can't get that emotional about Kyrie Irving being back, but it was good to see him out there, and now we'll see how this works using him as a part-time player.
You know, and that's the thing, Rick, is that with Kyrie Irving, we talked about this at the beginning of the show, is that at some point you get that fatigue factor. And yeah. Kyrie has been so much for so long, and especially something as polarizing as choosing not to get vaccinated. It's a big mm-hmm. story tonight that Kyrie yeah. is back, and okay, what's it going to be? But is he still going to be the guy that stirs the relevancy drink like he used to? I don't know. I mean, I don't know that we're going to be up for Kyrie's antics as if they continue on this way and what he says and different things he does. I think we might have hit that tipping point with him.
You're suggesting that Kyrie might have jumped the shark. You know what? There is that possibility. I mean, you're right. At some point, you get fatigued by, and especially, Kyrie after the game is talking about, You know, they've got goals and they've got to stay the course and they've got to stay connected. And I'm thinking, dude, you just spent the better part of this season disconnected from everybody. I don't need to hear a song and verse about how you guys are staying connected. That's something that still has to be proved at this point. And I did find it interesting that the guy who, you know, would appear to lose his spot in the rotation, DeAndre Bembry, was really the guy in the second half who got a chance to play and inspired the comeback. Kyrie certainly contributed. I thought he looked surprisingly good for a guy who was playing his first game of the season. I do think he found a way to, like, pick his spots, and there was enough times where he was just basically running down the court and standing in the corner. But, like, at this point, to your point, okay, so we've had all this drama. Let's not forget where this all started, which was that Kyrie, KD, and James Harden were getting together to win a championship. That ultimately is how all of this is going to be defined and measured, and whether it's successful or not. And so I just honestly, at this point, I don't want to hear anything more. I just want to see these guys play and see how well they can play, and then allow that to determine whether this experiment actually worked or not.
Well, talking about another return, I mean, a disappointing 2-2 after getting blown out on Dirk Nowitzki night in their last five, you know, with a postponement mixed in there. The Warriors, they look like they're going to get Klay Thompson. I think you've probably watched that 24 straight three-point shot arc that we saw that made the rounds about 37,000 times. What are you expecting upon his return?
Boy, it's a great question. And we actually talked about this on Speak for Yourself today, which is, like, who do you expect more from, Kyrie or Klay? And you would think, you know, the automatic answer is Klay, simply because he's coming back and he's going to be available full time. But we haven't seen Klay for 2+ years. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing him come back from two catastrophic injuries that I've never seen any player come back from. I mean, I come back from, period. Not come back from and play at a certain level. I mean, we've just never seen anybody miss 2 years, blow an ACL and an Achilles, and then come back and play. Now, based on, you know, the video clips that we've seen with him scrimmaging with the team, and I'm sure that the team is being very cautious. I believe, you know, there was a story that was not told by all the rumors and innuendo that he was going to be ready for Christmas, and then it got pushed back a couple weeks. You can't tell me that something didn't happen in the course of his rehab that made them decide to push it back. So I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I am trying to minimize my expectations. What I hope is that he's able to come back and stay healthy and contribute. That is it. Thinking that he's going to be back to Klay, thinking anything beyond that, I don't think is actually fair to him, because this is a tricky thing. I mean, you look at especially the Achilles. The Achilles was a non-contact, simply getting ready for the season, and I'm conscious of the fact that, you know, he's already burned a lot of tread on that tire from the five finals runs. And so I just I hope he gets a chance to stay healthy and play and contribute. But I'm not setting the bar any higher than that until I actually see him play, not just one game, not two games, but for a couple of weeks.
You know, but here's the sunny side of this, Rick, is that just to think about the situation, it's going to go well. Because of the system that they're in, Klay has been there. He's not the kind of guy that's going to say, I need to start, I need to play these minutes. Steve Kerr will say, listen, how about 6 minutes the first night, maybe 8 minutes the second game? Klay's going to say yes, of course, because they've been through the wars together. They, you know, they have the system they have up there, not just on the court but off the court. It's going to go very smoothly, and maybe he can play more minutes as it goes on. And if he can't, the Warriors are still 29-8 at the top of the Western Conference. Like, you're getting a gift with Klay Thompson. If it works out, great. If it doesn't, okay. I mean, I feel bad for Klay, but for the team, they're still playing great.
No, you're exactly right, which is why, again, like, I don't think there's any reason to put any specific expectations that Klay has to be a certain something in order for them. Now, you know, hopefully he stays healthy and he gets to a place where you know exactly what you can get from him, because it will make a difference in the postseason. Like, for as good as they are right now and as much as they're rolling, you're still talking about a host of players who have virtually no playoff experience. And so playing under those expectations, that is going to be a shock to the system, no matter what they do during the regular season. And at that point, that's where you hope that you have Klay, who can take a bigger role. I'm not trying to be negative about this by any means in terms of him coming back. I'm just trying to be cautious, because I don't want to get my hopes up, or pretty much, you know, any fans that are listening out there to think, you know, this kind of grates on me when I hear people say, well, the Warriors are going to play for a championship because Klay's coming back and he's going to be the same old Klay. And I'm like, you don't know that. Like, yeah, I mean,
sure.
These injuries were severe enough that just to assume that because Klay is, you know, feeling confident, that is, I just think that's a recipe for potential disappointment.
Getting snubbed on the All 75 is going to propel him to greatness. He's Rick Bucher with us.
Yeah.
Here, Fox Sports, right?
The 76. You talk about how screwed up that is, man. It wasn't even the top 75. Like, they messed it up. Yeah, we get 75 plus one. Like, what the hell is that? This is supposed to be a historic thing, and we're getting into fractions and decimals. Like, what the hell?
They treated it like free throws. One and the bonus. At Rick Bucher, where you find him on Twitter, FS1 analyst, hosts, and On the Ball is the podcast with Rick Bucher. And obviously, Rick, one of the teams I'm fired up about, your first place Eastern Conference Chicago Bulls, five players averaging double-digit scoring. Billy Donovan doing a great job, and DeMar DeRozan with all the heroics. Please tell me this is for real and not a mirage that's going to vanish in March.
No, it's not going to. I do not expect that it's going to vanish during the regular season. I don't know that it means that they're going to be playing for the Eastern Conference title. But again, if we're accentuating the positive, what I love, love, love about this Chicago Bulls story is it's a little bit like the Warriors when they came together, and, you know, Steph was discounted and Klay Thompson was discounted and Draymond Green was just a second round pick, and it was the same old Warriors. Well, we're kind of in the same place, the same old Bulls, and these guys have come together and decided. Zach LaVine has decided, DeMar DeRozan has decided, all of them have decided, you know what, we're not going to be the same old Bulls, and we're going to make whatever sacrifices that we have to make. And I think Zach LaVine set the tone from the very beginning, because he was the all-star of this team. And when DeMar DeRozan showed up, he more than willingly stepped aside and said, I will not only share the scoring responsibilities with you, but if Billy wants you to be the go-to guy in games, I'm here and I'll contribute. I won't play any less hard. But I'm not going to stand on, I have to be the star of this team. And considering that he had just become an all-star, I would not have blamed the young player who was like, hey, wait a minute, this is my team. Like, I would not, I've seen plenty of guys who have taken that stance and kind of deserved it because they worked to put themselves in that position. But he hasn't been that way. And Vucevic has struggled, and yet they've only tried to pick him up. I love the chemistry of this team. I love the focus of it. And the way they play is just a lot of fun to watch. So, again, it's a little bit like Klay. I don't want to get ahead of myself and start envisioning anything big in the postseason. But to have a team in Chicago, to have a Bulls team in Chicago matter again is welcome. You know, now we just need to get the Knicks.
I know. One at a time. One at a time.
We don't want to go. We're going to accentuate the positive, so let's not talk about it.
Hey, Rick, we're going through, and Alex English just posted he's got a few minutes left for the Nuggets if they need him. Who would the Knicks bring out? Is it the X-Men, or would you get Patrick Ewing at the elbow to take a couple of shots on a 10-day?
Well, so these aren't Knicks guys, but what I want is I was hoping that the Knicks would sign Steven Jackson, Jim Jackson, Mark Jackson, there's your Knicks tie. Mark Jackson, the ESPN broadcaster. Mm-hmm. Mark Jackson, the Philadelphia 76ers broadcaster. And Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who is formerly known as Chris Jackson. And we put the damn Jackson 5 out there for like at least a minute and a half. All right? That's what I want to
see. There you go.
If I'm going to be entertained at Madison Square Garden, give me that.
That's improv right there. Well done,
A, B, C, easy as one. That's how they all walk out on the court. One, two, three,
do-re-mi. And they moonwalk back on defense, which is kind of what the Knicks are doing right now anyway. So.
Oh, there's their walk-off right there.
The On the Ball podcast with Rick Bucher. You can check it out. Link to it on Twitter, at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher. More stuff on Clay, on the Bulls. Rick, as always, we appreciate it, buddy. We'll work on the Knicks next week, my friend.
Oh, sounds good. I can't wait.
All right.
See you, buddy.
That's Rick Bucher. There he goes.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason Smith and Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith and Mike Harmon are on the radio. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company, and that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations. They do apply. Well, today we found out that the likely number one overall pick in the NFL draft will now be eligible to be taken number one overall in the draft, as Michigan defensive end Aiden Hutchinson has declared he is leaving the Wolverines program to turn pro. The second big star in the last couple of days to leave that great Wolverine defense. Hutchinson, of course, a Heisman Trophy runner-up, third defensive player to finish second in the history of the award. He's an All-American Lombardi Award winner. And look, there's going to be a bit of a debate as to whether or not he's the number one overall pick. And right now, he seems to have the edge because he's got a high floor, in that even if he's not a big superstar player, his floor is high enough where, okay, you get this guy and he's going to be a good player. Now, I've watched him play all season, right? And there's two things that concern me about this, kind of like in a Justin Herbert, Zion Williamson kind of way where, boy, these guys are great, but, ooh, there's something that really makes me question them. For Zion, it was his weight. For Justin Herbert, it was how is he going to, you know, succeed against complex defense in the NFL when he couldn't really do it his senior year. But, okay, he has proven that hasn't been a big thing. But the thing with Hutchinson, Mike, is that, you know, he's kind of a one-year wonder guy. He had a really good sophomore year. And, you know, now you get the extra year. You could have stayed, but he's going to the NFL, obviously, because when you're ready to go, then you're going to go.
See you. But exactly.
The thing about him is that watching him play, he makes almost every kind of play, right? Lines up all along the line of scrimmage. He can make plays in the backfield. He made a couple of big plays against Georgia when they tried to throw screen passes and he was leaping out in coverage. I mean, the stuff he did was just he always made the right play and he could do everything. But one of the things that he did that really helped him was he could bull rush the other team's left tackle. Not at will, but he knew the spots when he could do that, and that was something that really helped him because it wasn't always I have to kind of find a way inside, or I have to find my way outside, or see. He could bull rush, and look, there's that great highlight of him pushing over the Ohio State left tackle during the win over Ohio State. It was, oh my God. And that was a great thing. And when you can be powerful enough to do it, hey, that's a great weapon. But that's something you can do in college, and you can't really rely on that on Sundays in the NFL. I can't just say I'm going to bull rush my way past the left tackle. No, you can't do that. Against the decent left tackles, they're going to stop you from being able to do that, and it's about other things. That's the one thing that concerns me about him. Like, the one-year thing, okay, but really, if he can't do that on Sunday, is he going to just be, hey, just a decent or pretty good defensive end? Which, okay, if you have a pretty good defensive end, that's great, but this is a guy that's going number one overall in the draft. So that's my big question, is I don't know that about the guy. Like I said, it's a question like I had about Zion, question I had about Herbert. I don't know that about the guy, if he can do that, because if he can't do that on Sundays, you're taking away a pretty big part of his repertoire.
Yeah, I think as you flow through, I mean, obviously it's not a quarterback-heavy draft, not that there aren't guys that, you know, between Pickett and others that'll come on and become ready-made pros, right, and go on to great careers. But it would appear that defense is the order of the day when you go either this way, and you know, you would love your Michigan man to have his opportunity, no question about it, when you talk about Hutchinson. Otherwise, you're looking at Thibodeau, and then Stingley, right? Those are the guys, if you look at any mock draft, those are the consensus top three, and then it's just, all right, what's your pick? You're hoping to get that guy that is one of the bookends for a decade, right? That's really all it comes down to, because you want to have your Ronco set it and forget it, and that's the guy that our defense can roll through. And Jacksonville's got a couple of playmakers there now, and obviously they're not drafting a quarterback, even if there was one that was staring you in the face as a number one pick. Obviously, I'm always looking to trade out if I've got number one or two, but when you can get a playmaker immediately, you do it. And it all has to work in concert, right? No matter how good a guy is, you know, if he doesn't have three or four other big time playmakers in that front seven with him, and a couple of corners that can hold their own, well, you're only going to get so many stats and big plays, right? TJ Watt has the numbers he does because the rest of that defense is sound. And they make plays, and well, let's face it, he's a freak when it gets down to it. And you're hoping to find that guy, but you're Jacksonville, which means you're going to pick the wrong guy if Balgi's still there.
Whatever you pick, the answer's going to be wrong. Oh, the Jets have entered the conversation. Hey, whoever we pick is going to wind up being
wrong. It's Costanza. Do the opposite, man.
So again, look, it could come back to haunt me. It could come back, but that's the one thing. I've seen him play all year long. You can't really rely on that bull rush in the NFL, and that's a big part of what he does. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Hey, coming up next, what quarterback may be upset enough to demand a trade in the offseason? And it's not Rodgers or Wilson. It's next. Fox.